This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Oh, it's going to be a show of announcements today. I can tell you that right now. Good afternoon. The Matt McNeil Show on your Monday. Matt and Brett here today. Later on, Burrill's coming in. We've got there's a huge announcement from him coming up here. We'll talk about that. He's headlining over at House of Comedy coming up here on Wednesday. We'll talk about that as well. That'll be in the 5:30 time frame. First things first, we are not brought, but to the pleasure of the masses, we are not broadcasting this god-awful, ugly face on Facebook today because, let me just check it. Facebook is it working?
Watch it work now, yeah.
Is it working now?
Let's see, let me try mine. Mine's not working.
Yours not working?
Well, I thought the bigger reason we weren't streaming was your lack of pants in the studio. But
well, it is. Well, no, that's a reason to stream, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, how you doing? Let me just click on it. Well, no, it seems to be working now.
You got it working?
Well, it seems to be.
It seems to be. Let's see.
Let's see here.
This is riveting play-by-play as Matt and I both log into Facebook.
Well, no, it seems to be. No, it seems to be dead here.
Yeah, mine's it's still it's, dead.
Nope, still it's been Zuckerberged. It still shocked you when with all your money you went and changed it to Smith or something. Anyway, it doesn't seem to be working really well. Here is the Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show page, as you can see in all of its fine splendor. It's not there.
I like how you're showing it to the camera. No one's seeing it.
That's right. If you were watching this camera, you would see this, and there's nothing there.
I don't even have the computer open on the screen, so literally no one's seeing it.
Is anyone? I mean, it's basically like a Pavlov's dog. Ring the bell. We're salivating. Unable to load page. Tap to retry.
I think we need to make this a drinking game every time. At least for me, you try to signal to the camera.
It'll be every time. Right now, if your drinking game is tap to retry on Facebook, you're gonna make it about 30 minutes because okay, got it again. This doesn't seem to be working. Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp are all down. They're not working, so we are not broadcasting a video of the show. Bon appetit. I don't know why it is. Here's this. There's a guy called the Academy. This is Benjamin Enfeld. This guy's got a lot of followers, a million followers. Audio engineer, start making money. Basically, it sounds like he works in the music industry. He put out a tweet that says, so somebody deleted large sections of the routing on Facebook. That doesn't mean Facebook is just down. By the looks of it, it means Facebook is gone.
Well, I heard like all their employees can't access email or anything. They have like no way to do anything at the headquarters is what I saw. So it's a major outage.
Did you see the 60 Minutes story last night at all on them, on the whistleblower?
Oh, I heard that. Yeah, I didn't watch it, but I've certainly read about that. Yeah.
It has not been a good 24 hours for these guys. And it sounds like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I have seen outages on social media. Usually last about an hour, 2 hours, maybe 3 hours. This has been down since 10:45 our time locally this morning. It's 4:00 this afternoon, and it's showing no signs of coming back up.
So you mean people might actually have to socialize and put the... No, we the still glowing have, screens
oh,
down.
Good news. We still have Twitter and TikTok.
Oh, okay. Right. So we're covered. All right.
I'm a what again? did you have a nice weekend?
I did. Yeah. Better than Mark Zuckerberg.
I'll tell you what. I'll get back to Facebook here a little bit later on in the show. What'd you do? Anything fun and anything exciting?
I definitely biked yesterday. Did not watch the Vikings game. So it was probably for the better since I heard it was a... not a well-played game by either side, so yeah,
the deal with Cousins is simply this, is that he is just not that elite. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Tom Brady. He's just not that elite level of quarterback. He has to be told what to do, And when the game plan doesn't work, he does not know how to scramble. He doesn't know how to do alternates. And that's what happened is Cleveland basically just started rushing. They rushed four. And, you know, okay, so how do you stop a good rush? Well, quick slant passes and passes out to the flat. I'm no football mind, and I know that. He couldn't pull it off. He couldn't pull it off. And I mean, that's, you make, if they're gonna rush four, then you make them pay. And they're getting to you. Well, you just, you know, you take 5 yards every pass, and then you just kind of march down the field. And you have to do it that way. You have to. Then all of a sudden, they're starting to pull people back. They're going to keep linebackers back. That's how you do it. So
what you're saying is the MVP talk for Kirk Cousins is probably going to quiet down this week.
I think. Well, that was just a. He's not the leader. He's already showed that on a few different levels. He's just not the leader they want them to be, and he's just not the quarterback that they think he's going to be. And you know, he looked panicked and he didn't know where he was going. It was a lot of bad passes in that game. So. Anyway, I actually as well got away from that. Yesterday was apple picking day. I had a busy weekend. We had a wedding, a family wedding. I had family in town, and I'll get back to that in a quick sec. Family in town, and so we had people staying with us, and then we had a wedding on Saturday. Family still in town through the weekend, and then of course apple picking. I went apple picking in the Loose Line Orchard. Interesting observation about the Twin Cities orchards, which I think is a good thing. When my family, when I had the little kids, when my son, who's now in college, was maybe 2 or 3 years old, when we first started going to apple orchards, we could go to apple orchards, just the ones on the western side of Hennepin County. I think it was Homestead Orchard and Minnetonka Orchard. Those are the ones in Hennepin County. You could go over there and even in the beginning of October and still had a pretty good selection of apples on the trees to go pick. Today, you've got to go out there a little bit. Loose Line Orchard is out past Watertown. It's on the western side of Watertown. And yeah, it was quite a bit of a drive out there, but still got my Sweet Tangos. I think Harrelson's as well. Some Honeycrisps. Nice. Got 4 huge bags, man. If you were up on Facebook, you'd be able to see the photos of this. I posted them last night. If you missed them, well, so much. Oh, well.
Well, then it didn't happen.
It's like that new Blade Runner. How many days was everything gone? It just wiped. But it was just amazing. And just a lovely, by the way, a lovely orchard. Very nice. Had a good time out there. Great apples. I also got out and did some leaf watching. If you were on the bike, which trails did you hit?
I did the Gateway yesterday.
Okay. Pretty?
Yeah. Oh, cool. They all are at this point.
They are. They're getting there, aren't they? I noticed if you went out, you know, like I said, you had to go about an hour out of the city, 45 minutes out of the city. Out there, the leaves are really starting to get into that prime mode. In the city, it still is a little bit away, but it's nice. It was nice. Thanks to the folks at Loose Line, it was nice to be out there. Great orchard. That place was packed to the freaking gills. It was not the orchard, not the pick your own orchard. That actually was there, but they had all these events and you know, petting zoo, horse rides, all the just tons of stuff. And do they have a pumpkin cannon? I don't think they had a pumpkin cannon because fun for the whole family, if you ask me. So I'm going to be a little preoccupied on this show. On this because I am dealing with you can only be as good as when it comes to COVID and coronavirus. You can only be as good as you are. It came to our attention yesterday morning that a person that we had been in contact with over the family gathering had come down with COVID. Now, it's not known whether or not they knew they had been around someone who had been exposed or not. That is not, I'm kind of really hoping they didn't know. I hope they didn't know. And then they, you know, because if they didn't, if they knew and they were still going out and being around people, I mean, especially the elderly family members, come on. No. That's not a good idea. But if, you know, they might not have known that they had been around someone, but they this person had been near us, closer to us than you know, most of the time. I mean, usually if I like, I mean, I'm pretty good. I mean, I go to the grocery store. I'm masked up the entire time. I go to, you know, I go for a walk. I mean, one of the reasons why I mentioned the orchard yesterday, we went to the orchard where that was really busy on that one side where the orchard, they had all the things. We weren't there very long. I went inside, mask on, to get our bags so we can go pick on the trees. And then we went over to the orchard, which was much sparsely less. There's a lot less people over there. And had a lot of fun. And so we were able to do that. We've been very careful. But this person did indeed. They came over to our house for dinner. We were at a gathering on Friday night last week where they were there. And yeah, and another family member that we had been around had actually been, as well, had been, had experienced COVID. They could potentially experience COVID. They had basically been around them, and so that was obviously a concern as well. So, my wife and I had a discussion about this, and we just made the decision. We need to go get tested. Now, I got to tell you, do you remember the stories from last week about the lines and the waits to get tested? I was thinking, okay, this is what Thursday, Friday, hopefully we can get in by someplace. No, got in today right away. We had a full choice of selection of tests for free. It was great. So we went in. They did the old nose thing.
Oh, you had to do the nose one?
Delicious. And we are waiting to hear, while we are on the air, whether or not I have got coronavirus. And I'm not joking. I have no idea. I do not know. But we all got tested. We're going to see how we're doing. I would say, so the first chance of any kind of contact was Thursday night. Well, actually, I guess technically my wife could have gotten a little bit of contact on Friday night or Wednesday night. But for the rest of us, it was Thursday night. So that'd be 4 days, basically. I think that's kind of within that window. You should be able to get a test if you've been exposed and you've gotten it in that window. Show up.
I had an exposure last fall and they said, yeah, you kind of want to wait like that 4 to 5 days before getting tested. Otherwise, you might not have enough virus in your body to even detect anything if you get it too early.
Yeah. We'll have to find out. So this is the big event for the day. Is Matt sick? Well, you know, not that kind of sick. Sick like, I mean, I'm sick like, you know, cool like dope. Yeah, I'm all over that action.
Oh,
I'm
there you go.
Sick, man. Sick. But is Matt actually sick? We're going to have to find out. Needless to say, we had to take some precautions. We're back to our stance as it was back during the spring of last year, where we were like hermetically sealing our bodies and getting into the studios and then hosing ourselves down with Lysol spray constantly while we're in here. We've reestablished this. It's a shame you can't watch this. Right now, I have just taken, we have, you know, four large Ukrainians back behind this wall behind me who have scrub brushes who just, they sanitized me. I was naked. It was not pretty. But I feel clean right now. I can't deny. I mean, they got nooks and crannies, kids.
Ukrainians,
I don't know why I brought the Ukrainians in on this.
They don't have a laptop with them, do they?
you no more poking. I poke you back.
That's kind of Arnold. Right there.
Well, it's I can't. It could be coronavirus. That's why my accents don't work.
Oh, that's yeah.
Can I do a Dynaga? I don't know. Can you do a Dynaga? Yes. Okay, that's fine. Thanks, Dynaga. You betcha. No, we're going to find out live on air, is Matt McNeil got the C?
Got the C, huh?
Got the C.
Is that the street way we're talking about?
I'm actually concerned. I mean, seriously, isn't, and my jokes aside, I mean, isn't this kind of what we're all afraid of? I mean, you do your due diligence. You do your due diligence. And my wife and my kids and I, we've all been careful.
I mean, kids in the school have been fantastic. Face masks the entire time. We've dramatically limited how much socializing we did. I went to the movie. I went to the Shang-Chi. And I went by myself. First showing of the morning, when I was basically in the theater by myself. And I still had my mask on the entire time. You know, we've done things right. And it's only when you get something out of control. And the reality is that you are only as good. I mean, I don't think we were stupid. I think we were to a point, it's gullibility. You know, we're only as good as the other people take it seriously. And you know, it was great to see family. I don't want to necessarily bash and dog or anything like that. It was nice to see family and all that good stuff. But at the same time, I mean, I got to tell you the truth. I hope it was a case where they did not know. I hope it was a case they did not know their coworker was sick. And henceforth that they would have been exposed, because if I would have, it would be kind of very upsetting to me to know that someone who knew they had been exposed to someone who had COVID and still went out and socialized, especially with the elderly relatives. Yeah, that's not a good call, man. That's Bush League. You just no. So I'm going to check my email. We're going to take a break. I'm going to check my email. I'll come back since I'm in this kind of mode anyway. We'll check the coronavirus update for today when we do come on back. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Let me just crack open the old email here to see if I've got any test results yet. 9,474 unread messages. Fine. Nothing here, but this Nigerian prince sounds like he's got a heck of a deal for me here. Hey, I might have to get in the bottom floor of this deal.
Got to start checking that inbox. What else could you get in there? I mean,
there's all sorts of opportunities
here. You
might
have a franchise opportunity in your email.
No word yet if I'm sick with the COVID. We'll find out as the show goes on. 952-946-6205. Minnesota coronavirus update for today. 21 COVID-19 deaths reported in Minnesota on Monday, raising the total in September to 276. The toll of pandemic, 8,191. Last month's total was the highest since January, when 775 people died at the end of Minnesota's most severe pandemic wave and the start of efforts to distribute limited COVID-19 vaccines to people at greatest risk. This is all because of ignorant fools who, it doesn't matter to me, it's not real, I ain't getting vaccinated, masks don't work! Increases in COVID-19 deaths are routinely lagged a few weeks behind increases in infections with the coronavirus, as well as increases in hospitalizations. Whether Minnesota has peaked in the latest pandemic wave is unclear, though. The state on Monday reported the positivity rate of COVID-19 testing that is above the 5% caution threshold for substantial viral spread, but below the high of 7.1% a week ago. The state on Monday reported that 3,546 infections, raising its total to 718,327. The number of Minnesota hospital beds filled with COVID-19 patients increased to 819 on Friday, the most recent day for which the data was available. That's up dramatically. I believe it was like 884 or 784. Oh, wow. Breakthrough infections and the fully vaccinated increased despite steady progress in getting people immunized against COVID. The state for the first time on Monday reached a 75% first dose vaccination rate of 12 and older population. You know, here's why I think the entire argument of why you even report the breakthrough numbers is kind of ludicrous. Listen to this. The state on Monday reported identification of 32,796 breakthrough infections out of more than 3.1 million fully vaccinated, a rate just over 1%. The story here is that 99% of these cases are unvaccinated. 99. That is the far larger, far more substantial, maybe your final paragraph of this story is the 1%. You shouldn't even be really mentioning it, because all you're doing is including this in there for loon balls to say, see, there are breakthrough cases. People that don't understand that one is dramatically less than 99.
just ludicrous. Why are you even including that in there? The breakthrough infections included 185 people who died of COVID, mostly seniors. See, like they say, they spent three paragraphs talking about breakthrough cases. 99% of the cases, 99 are unvaccinated. What should your priority be? A recent spike in COVID-19 driven by the highly contagious Delta variant shows no signs of stopping yet in Minnesota. And it's in greater Minnesota that's bearing the brunt of the cases. Now, this is, Bring Me the News does, I mean, they have done some exceptional stories on this over at Bring Me the News. I highly recommend following them if you've not. They have been, I just read the Star Tribune story, but the Star Tribune is fickle. They sometimes cover it, they sometimes don't. Bring Me the News has been one of the few news outlets that's been covering this every day, since this started, and they're actually still giving out good stories that are giving you new perspectives, and I give them a lot of credit. Bring Me the News wrote at the beginning of September how the ratio of cases had shifted so that the disproportionate number were now being reported in greater Minnesota as opposed to the 7-county Twin Cities metro area, where, and keep this in mind, 55.5% of Minnesotans reside in the 7-county Twin Cities metro area, okay? 55% of the population, which means in the rest of the state, outside of those seven counties, 44.5% of the population lives out there. Since then, the case growth has slowed in the metro but accelerated in greater Minnesota, with the ratio growing to the point where more than 3 in 5 new cases of the virus being reported are from outside the 7-county metro area. Just in case you didn't really ace the math class, that means 60%. So, outstate Minnesota has 44.5% of the population, but they're having 60% of the COVID cases. Those aren't good ratios. And that is the work of the Republican Party of Minnesota right there, folks. The same people who have gone out there and downplayed the importance of vaccines, downplayed the importance of masks, or are out there right now talking about Dr. Fauci is going to cancel Christmas. Shut up. People are dying, you heartless, cruel fools. You supposed Christians, you ones that smack your Bibles in everyone's faces anytime you walk into a room. You have people dying because of your misinformation campaign, and it's showing in your districts worse of all right now. God, what is wrong with you people? I cannot figure out why the Republican Party, when you look at numbers like this, isn't frantically screaming everywhere they can, get vaccinated, wear masks. Here's how the ratios have changed over the past 2 weeks. Looking at how many of the new cases reported since September 19th have come from the metro. So follow along here, okay? On 9/20, there were 2,474 cases. 1,126 were in the metro. That was 45.5%, which meant the other 54.5% came from outstate Minnesota. Once again, far more than the population ratio out there. The three-day data on 9/21, there was 6,352 cases on the three-day data. 41.7% came from the metro area. The rest came from outstate Minnesota. By the way, this gets worse. On 9/22, 1,624 cases, 44.5% from the metro, the rest from outstate. Once again, reminder, the metro area has 55.5% of the state's population. Which means if there's only 44.5% of those cases on that day coming from the metro, they are having a substantial amount more cases in outstate Minnesota. But once again, it gets worse. 9/23, 2,434 cases. The metro's count was 37.5%. 9/24, 2,997 cases. The metro's count was 37%. The worst day was 9/30 was, out of all the cases, only 36.6% came from the metro area. The rest, the 63.4%, came from outstate Minnesota. And then on 10/4, October 4th, of the 3,546 cases, only 34.4% came from the metro area. which is once again 55% of the state population. 34.4 from the metro area, which means, 63.6%. 65.6%. 65.6% of the entire cases are coming from outstate Minnesota, the far smaller portion of the population size. This is an outbreak. This entire current surge is being fueled by Republican ignorance and the reluctance of Republican politicians to basically go on out there and do what's right and tell your constituents no. And maybe they can do it today with Facebook down. But tell them no. Get vaccinated. Wear a mask. For goodness sakes, we don't want you dead. Monday saw a Minnesota record more than 3,500 cases on the second day running. There were some notable county numbers contained within. For example, Scott County in the Twin Cities posted 48 new cases on Monday's data from the population of 149,000, around the same exact number of cases from several much smaller counties in greater Minnesota, like Itasca. Itasca has 47 cases, but only 47,000 people. McLeod, 44 cases, 36,000 people. Polk County, 55 cases, and only 35,000 people. Dear Lord. Stearns County, where some businesses are now enacting vaccine and negative test requirements, recorded 152 cases out of 161,000 population, 55% more than the 98 cases recorded in Washington County, which has 262,000 residents, and not far off from the 179 cases in Ramsey County, which has 550,000 residents. Early peaks of COVID-19 were felt more keenly in the more densely populated seven-county metro, but that seems to have shifted to the wake of the introduction of Delta variant to the outstate, with the metro now seeing some of the lowest per capita cases in Minnesota. It is the first major wave in the virus in Minnesota since most of its residents were vaccinated, with the seven counties that compromise the metro having among the highest vaccination rates in the state. All seven counties have more than 70% of its residents aged 12 and over with at least one dose of vaccine. The metro counties have also tended over the course of the pandemic to see more residents consistently wear face masks compared to other parts of Minnesota. School districts in the Twin Cities are also more likely to have higher vaccination rates among the kids 12 to 17 and have passed mask mandates for students than those in greater Minnesota. The latest data shows that 10 to 19 age group is experiencing a higher rate of COVID positivity than any other group in Minnesota. Of the 231 schools in Minnesota that have reported five or more cases at the start of the year, 126 of them, 54%, are from greater Minnesota. 54%, the vast majority. There's also been a shift in where COVID-19s are happening in Minnesota to the point where now increasingly coming from outside in the most populated region through the ratio between the metro greater Minnesota is closer than it is for cases. The figures reported on Monday shows 13 of the 21 deaths recorded from COVID-19 came from the outside the seven county metro area. On Friday, it was 9 of the 17 deaths. Over 50% of the people are dying where less than 50% of the population lives. Last Wednesday and Thursday, there were more deaths reported in the metro area, 24 out of 44 than in greater Minnesota. But last Monday and Tuesday, more came from the greater Minnesota area, 19 out of 33. But that's basically right in line with the population. If you're having days where basically outstate Minnesota is getting, what was that one day? 13 out of 21 deaths. I mean, that's pretty close to 66%. Two-thirds of the deaths that day came from outstate Minnesota. 66% in a place where only 44.5% of the state lives. This is troubling data. It's troubling because, once again, this is a man-made problem. This is Republicans refusing to have the leadership that they need, that they are sacrificing. They're sacrificing the lives of their own constituents to try to win political points. Because they're hoping of the group of people that still stands, that's not bankrupt or are not evicted from their houses after all the medical bills come through, that those people will be the most loyal Republican voters ever. But at what cost? You're not going to win any elections. For God's sakes, you're peeling away voters in your districts faster than the way, and the metro area is growing. If you're killing off your constituents because you think this is some sort of winning election strategy, you're wrong. Maybe just about feeling good about yourselves in primaries, I guess. I don't know. But shame on all you guys. Shame on all the Republicans that are not out there every single day saying, for God's sakes, get vaccinated and wear a mask. Because of you. Because of this wishy-washiness at best. Outright misinformation campaign at worst. People are dying. More on the Minnesota coronavirus update. I'll give you an update on whether I got my test results back when I do return. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. I'm officially having a better day than Facebook. Brett, negative.
Negative. Excellent. All right.
Negative. We can send the Ukrainian scrubbers home. I don't need to be washed down again.
Still got a tick on my thing, though.
Actually, hold on. Top of the hour, I'll run back there. Just it's a cleaning sensation you have to feel.
Oh, they're back there hanging with Lindell.
They're back with our cutout of Lindell we have back there. There. Who this guy? Do we need to wash him? Well, yes. Yes, guys. Yes, you guys. Oh, by the way, there we go. I'm officially just going to open the door again. Here you go. Hey, Brett, guess what? I'm okay.
There we go.
All right.
Matt is okay, as you may have heard. Matt does not have COVID-19.
Oh, wait, here's this other email that just came in. Let me just take a look. Oops, sorry about that. We, you know.
By negative, we meant bad.
You are sick. Well, in both. Well, never mind. No, I am not. I am not sick. My test came back negative. That is stressful. I'm not going to deny. I'm not going to deny it at all. That is stressful. You know, and like I said, you do what you're supposed to do. And, you know, we've socially distanced, wore masks, limited our contact even still today. And, you know, lured into a false sense of maybe it was okay. But at the same time, you know, it's you're only as good as the person there. That if they know or don't know if they're sick, you don't know. You know, you're only as good as your level of trust. And Brad is in Robbinsdale. Brad, welcome on in here.
Okay. Well, again, congratulations on the negative results, and I hope the same is for your wife. But this is the cheesiest rating ploy ever.
Is it? Well, no, it's actually, I did, Brad, this is not a ploy per se. I actually did get tested at 2:54. They said it would take 1 to 2 hours to get the results. So this is not any ploy. I mean, this is really just, I'm coming in here, and trust me, I had to talk to Brett today. It's like, okay, we got to treat this thing like it's, I've got it until we know for sure. So ploy or not.
Well, this was a real cliffhanger.
What was it?
Real cliffhanger.
Well, I got to tell you the truth is I did not know. Brad, thank you. I appreciate the phone call. I think he's thinking that we knew that this was going to come back negative. No, I did not know. I did not know. I found out at the same time you guys did. And as a matter of fact, Brett and I had to have a discussion here. It was like, what do we do at this point if I come back positive? Do I finish out the show here? Do I head home? Do we just, you know, Brett takes over? You know, this is not fake. This is nothing. I'm dead serious. This is just, yes, this is, you heard it as I did it. So I'm sorry if you feel if it was staged, it was not.
It was indeed not staged. And if you weren't vaccinated, chances are you may have tested positive.
Well,
so there you go.
Well, and I was vaccinated and I'm glad you brought that up. I am vaccinated and I wear a mask a lot. So no, this is, you know. You have to take this seriously, and no, I am not joking around with this in the sense being of taking a test. You may not, you may think that this is something that was contrived. No, I literally, we went online yesterday, last night, when we made the decision we're going to get the test. We decided to wait for the girls to be done with school. They, of course, they're wearing masks the entire day. We went in, got tested right away. And by the way, I should mention, you said, I hope your wife is, all of my family, all four of us tested negative, which is good. That was the word I just got. So, you know, this is, you know, I got tested at 2:53. They said it'd take 1 to 2 hours. And we just found out. So it's, go get tested. If you have a question, go get tested. And I don't know. I guess Brad's upset that I didn't get it. I guess. I don't know.
He was waiting in suspense, and yeah, we didn't put a drum roll on or anything.
I don't know. It's I'm sorry that my illness tests do not amuse you as much as they do me. But at the same time, I mean, this is a real world scenario thing that's going on to thousands of Minnesotans every single day, Brad. And I am no different from anyone else. I will say I am very glad I do not have coronavirus. At least like this. And now here's the deal. I'm not dumb. If any time during this week, all of a sudden I start feeling really bad, I know I need to get back over there and get retested again. I know that if any of my kids start feeling really bad, we have to go get retested again. And I also know that, you know, if all of a sudden one of us tests positive, all of a sudden we're quarantined. You know, my wife and I would be quarantined. I mean, if one of our kids was sick, my wife and I and the other kids would be, you know, as well, just have to take, what is it, 2 days or 3 days, where we'd have to make sure that we got a negative test. And, you know, then we have a kid who's basically quarantined for, what, 10 days now? I'm glad that it's negative. I'm glad that it's negative. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has issued new guidelines to how people can decrease their risk of catching and spreading COVID-19 during the holiday season, or as Fox News labels it, Fauci's destroying Christmas! He's abusing Santa!
Is that really where they're going with this? That Fauci's
That was this morning. That Fauci is trying to cancel Christmas. Among the measures the CDC suggests, taking and getting vaccinated when you are eligible, hosting virtual and outdoor activities instead of indoor gatherings and wearing a mask. Attending gatherings to celebrate events and holidays increases your risk of getting and spreading COVID-19. The safest way to celebrate is virtually with people who live with you or outside and at least 6 feet apart from others, said the CDC's guidance. Is celebrating indoors, bring fresh air inside. Nothing will be more fresh than air in Minnesota around Thanksgiving and Christmas if you crack open the windows. Wow, that's a bit of a, might want to grab your jacket if you're going to do that and kill all your houseplants at the same time. Basically, have a window fan in one of the open windows to blow air out of the window, helping pull fresh air through the other open windows, the CDC says. That's not really practical anywhere north of the Mason-Dixon. I'm going to let you know, CDC. The areas with substantial and high-risk transmission, which is Minnesota, is 96.5% in the United States. Those who are not fully immunized should be wearing a mask in indoor places and should be considering wearing a mask outdoors that they'll be in close contact with others who aren't vaccinated. Even those who are fully vaccinated should wear a mask indoors in the public if they live in an area of high transmission. The CDC says it will maximize protection for the highly contagious Delta variant. The CDC also advises against traveling anywhere unless fully vaccinated and wearing a mask on public transportation, including planes, which is required even though those are fully vaccinated. And anyone who is sick or has symptoms of COVID-19 should not attend or host a gathering, the CDC stresses. That's in the no duh category. In fact, if you're sick with anything or have COVID-19 symptoms, you should stay home from all activities. So there you go. You know, just kind of some common sense stuff for the holidays with this. And you have to be careful. I think it's insanely important that you always keep in mind you're only as good as the situations that you put yourself in. If you go to one of these, I saw the videos. I mean, well, I see the videos of these college football games and full stands. No one's wearing a mask, or very few people are wearing masks. And you say to yourself, why is it that they're having, you know, outbreaks at college campuses? Well, this isn't rocket science. or you see these big concerts. People going to these concerts. And some concert venues are, you know, you have to wear a mask. Sometimes they're saying you have to be vaccinated, which is great. I think those are great things. But you still, as I'm vaccinated, I wear a mask, I could have had COVID. You don't know. And the reality is that, you know, the presumption is that you're going someplace safe when you have those restrictions there. The reality is it's just less likely that anyone's going to get really sick. But you know, there's still a chance. You're only as good as the people and the situations you put yourself in. And in my family's case, we had a wedding this weekend, and a wedding that was put off, and you know, to be all safe, you know, we that was initially scheduled for last fall. They ended up having a small service on their own, and this was kind of the family gathering, but still. Pretty much most people there were still, and including ourselves. And when we got into the kind of reception area, we all had our masks on, and we all, you know, for the most part, stayed somewhat distant from each other. But you're only as good as that situation. You're only as good. So be careful. No one's canceling Christmas, but you know, we're getting into the tough season again. Remember, was it a year ago, you had Gazelka and Doubt on the Capitol steps screaming about how Governor Walz should reopen everything right before they had a super spreader event in their own party and right before Minnesota had the worst stretch of coronavirus in the entire stretch at that point through November into December and into January. So it's going to get worse here before it gets better. So just be careful out there. And get tested. It's not that bad. I got tested, and like I said, an hour and a half later, I found out the results. Go team go. No COVID. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Someone calling him. Brett, what's the question there?
Yeah, they just wanted to know where you got tested since it seemed like a quick turnaround.
Well, there is a place. I did not know about this place either. If you go to Cedar Lake Road, it is just east of Hopkins Crossroads. There is a strip mall on the north side of the highway past the Aldi store. It's right kind of rich down the street from Hopkins High School. It's right down there on Cedar Lake Road. And you pull in. Now, first of all, I want to make sure you understand. You have to have a reservation. You have to have a reservation. But I imagine if you searched, which the name is escaping me at the top of the head right now. But if you search Cedar Lake Road and COVID testing, it will come up. You have to get a reservation. That you go in, and like I said, I went and picked up my daughter from school. We went down there and, you know, we're taken care of fairly quickly. And like I said, hour and a half had a result. So there's where we got ours done. I remember that story from last week that there are a lot of people saying, where can you get tests at? And that the do it at home tests were sold out pretty much most places. This was pretty simple. This was pretty simple and it was relatively painless. So there you go. Cedar Lake Road, just to the east of Hopkins Crossroads. In between Hopkins Crossroads and Hopkins High School. There's a strip mall there, and it's in there. All right. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. The FBI in Minneapolis said agents have arrested three more Minnesotans in charges related to the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. Isaac Westbury, Robert Westbury, and Aaron James, all from Lindstrom. Lindstrom? That is not the first time we've had traitors to the United States arrested in Lindstrom. What is going on up there, Lindstrom? Don't they have that cute little teapot water fountain, water tower there? That's what I thought they did. I didn't realize the teapot was full of treason, I guess. What's going on, Lindstrom? Don't have a lot of patience for anti-American traitors. I do not have any patience. In case you've missed the theme, I have very little patience for them. A total of 8 Minnesotans have now been arrested for their roles in the January 6th riot when the U.S. Capitol was overrun by a crowd of Trump supporters as senators worked to certify the results of the 2020 election. Several people died as a result of the events last January. A total of 8 Minnesotans been arrested in the case as well. So, yeah, it's, you know, Isaac Westbury, Robert Westbury, Aaron James, I guarantee you if the FBI arrested them, they got the goods on these guys. It also, there was a story as well today, I saw this, and this is a little concerning. Once again, we are dealing with, did these people that attacked have knowledge before the attack that told them how to try to get into the building? And one of the things which is really interesting is they specifically went to some windows. The way they have it is this. They did some upgrades in about 2017 to the U.S. Capitol. And they put on some, you know, some heavy duty windows and explosion proof windows and stuff on certain areas. But there were certain alcoves where they had basically walls surrounding the windows, like recesses into the building, where they didn't change those windows back in 2017 because the presumption is that if there was going to be an attack, it would be a bomb explosion. And it was determined that these alcoves were really already somewhat protected because they were back offset off the face of the building. Well, that's where a lot of these guys first attacked, which leads you to ask the question, how did they know those windows would be the easiest ones to break down? That because those are not exactly main walkway doorways. They were specifically heading towards those doorways and windows where the windows were more subjectable to being broken down. Someone either they were doing research in that crowd or someone helped them, because needless to say, that's not something that is real freaking specific. If you think about it, they knew which windows were the easier ones to break down and went to those first. Now, I'm not saying that these three individuals who were arrested were part of that, but they were arrested for something. And the January 6th riot, arrest them all. Arrest all the traitors to this country. Put them in jail. Put them in jail forever, in my mind. We'll take a break. Hour 2, Robert Barile. That's coming up next. Broadcasting live from the Rudy Luther Toyota Studios at AM 950, it's the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, looking up at the map feature here, it's just listed as COVID-19 testing site. So I don't know if that's a state-run site or what, but that's where we got tested. Once again, if you missed, that was the little bit of drama we had the first hour. I had to get tested before I came on the air, so we did not know whether or not I had coronavirus. I did get a negative test, and so as did the rest of my family. I would encourage you, and it was because there was someone that we had a family gathering and someone who either knew or didn't know they had been exposed. They came and yeah, you're only as good as the situations you put yourself in. And so we had to get tested, and the good news is we're all negative. So that is good news indeed. The testing site, once again, it's on Cedar Lake Road, just to the east of Hopkins Crossroad, west of Hopkins High School. So there, it's in a strip mall there on the north side. They had tons of appointments. Like we went to get appointments last night, and they had tons of appointments for today. So if you're looking to get tested tomorrow, it sounds like at least that location is, a day beforehand, you might be able to get lucky there and get in for an appointment. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Brett, we did talk a little smidge about the Vikings. But let's put this, let's have the wake for the Twins season, because yeah, that did not end well.
When's their playoff game tomorrow?
They're not playing tomorrow.
Oh,
it was entertaining. I will say this: the playoff race was entertaining. You had Seattle and Toronto basically miss out by one game on whether or not they'd be playing. Boston and New York will face off in one wild card game. Gosh, I do feel sorry for the Dodgers. Win 100. How many games did they win? 112?
A lot.
They won 112, 114 games. They are in second place. They have to play a wild card game against the St. Louis Cardinals, who, if there are many teams I would be terrified of in a one-game playoff, it'd be St. Louis. That is a good team, and it's a good franchise down there. Can I just, I'm going to say this. I mean, there's all these people that are talking about, oh, well, in case you turned off the Twins season at the All-Star game, you shouldn't have, because here are some really good things that happened in the latter part of the season. Dude, you finished last in the American League Central. It's not the worst conference by any means, but it's not the best conference either. And you finish last. And by the way, nice job, Kansas City Royals, after they ensured they would not finish last by winning Friday night. Those guys just mailed in those other last two games. If I was a Royals fan and I had tickets to either one of those games, I would be livid, because those guys clearly did not care. As long as they just didn't finish last, that was the Twins. But can I say, I mean, it's great that the Twins in the second half of the season, when they were already well out of it, played some decent baseball. But come on, you guys got to come to camp ready to play. Games start in April. You need to be playing games in April, not waiting for Miguel Sano to get to playing shape in June. Gosh, you gotta, you know, and I like Buxton. I mean, gosh, the guy, when he's healthy, is as exciting as any player I've seen in my entire life. But the dude gets broken way too easily. And I think we all can see what's gonna happen. It's just the total Minnesota thing. If we sign him for big bucks and keep him, he'll be constantly injured. He'll play maybe five games a season and then eventually retire after taking a whole bunch of money. If we trade him away and let him go, he all of a sudden will become rejuvenated, not get injured again, and lead the league for 10 years, whatever team he's on. And I guarantee you that's going to happen.
Wow. You think he's going to – that could really happen if he leaves? He just doesn't show any track record to stay healthy that much.
It just would be how Minnesota operates. You know how we are. It just is – if there's a way for things to kind of implode in on us, it does. Get your guys talking to these players today. Ask them what their off-season training is going to be. They're professional athletes. They should, hey, take a few weeks off. Go have some Thanksgiving. Halloween, Thanksgiving, fine. But come the day after Thanksgiving, you guys had better be in the gym getting ready for spring training. Because if your team, for the third year in a row, or second year in a row, comes in clearly not ready for the season. I mean, and last year we finished first. But we also still ended up, you know, getting swept in the playoffs. But I mean, it took us a while to get going last year because the team really wasn't ready to start playing. When they did, they got great. I mean, they were hitting the ball all over the place when no one was in the stands. Maybe that's the problem, is that the minute people start watching the games, all of a sudden, I don't know.
Or they don't have any pitching. That's a pretty big problem.
Yeah, that's another. The difference between the first place team last year and the last place team is every pitcher we should have kept, we got rid of. Every pitcher we should have got rid of, we kept. And that's and don't even get me started on Colomé. Don't even get me started on Colomé. But no, if you are going to be a contender again, you got to act like a contender and then have your guys ready to start playing baseball on day one. Because I'll tell you right now, it's not helping your team at all to have guys think they'll be ready to start playing on a day-to-day basis at the end of May, because the 2 months of the season are gone and it's over at that point. I mean, that's really frustrating. It's really frustrating. That team should be a lot better. But the reality is once again, here's more evidence. New stadiums do not get you championships. New stadiums do not get you championships. That's just a lie that we were told. 952-946-6205. The Republican Party, this is a story from the other day, but I did want to mention this because this is a little bit wild. The Republican Party has replaced Jennifer Carnahan, who had to resign after the fallout of the Anton Lazaro sex trafficking scandal. The Saturday meeting in Hopkins, party members elected former state minority leader David Hahn as the new chair. He's from Eden Prairie. Steve Swazinski, the senator, beat him a few years back in his race. And so he has not been in politics for a few years. Hahn beat out a handful of other candidates, including Jerry Dettinger, an Andover-based CEO of Torque Fitness. His job will be seeking to maintain the party's power in the Minnesota Senate, win the House, and try to become the first party chair since 2007 to lead the Republican Party to a statewide election win. He's also pledged to work to rescue the state's party's reputation following recent controversies. intends to attract more young voters. Oh, yeah, sure, you're doing a great job with that right now. Through his election begins the new chapter of the party. Recent comments by Hahn, as well as his choice of deputy chair, indicate that the Minnesota GOP may continue to focus on the 2020 election, trying to cast doubts on the results, which is there really anyone with any level of sanity think that Joe Biden didn't win Minnesota? Of course he won. Minnesota Reformer story from Cooligan. Hahn at a forum last week promised a law allowing the state's parties to examine the source code of the voting machines used in last year's presidential election. Moreover, as soon as his victory, Hahn announced that former state Senate candidate Donna Bergstrom as his deputy chair. Now, I don't know if you remember Bergstrom. Bergstrom was defeated by DFLer Jen McEwen up in District 7, up in Duluth. She sued over the alleged voting irregularities, despite the fact that McEwen won by a 2-1 vote margin. She contested that her losing on a 2-1 margin was due to voting irregularities. The lawsuit was ultimately rejected by the Minnesota Supreme Court earlier this year with reports that Justice Gildea said Bergstrom's challenge contained vague allegations and failed to justify the deeper ballot inspection. So Carnahan, of course, ousted from her position in August, not only over her connections to Lazaro, but also reports of sexual harassment and misconduct from the staffers, with former associates describing the toxic work environment under her watch. Carnahan denied the claims and characterized the stories as coming from disgruntled individuals. Oh, they're all disgruntled. It's not her. I'm kind of somewhat shocked by this, and I don't know. This might be a shock to everyone. I don't know the inner workings of the Republican GOP nomination process. I don't know what it takes to win this. Was Hahn just saying that stuff about re-examining the 2020 election to get people on board with voting for him for the head of the Minnesota GOP chair? Maybe. The fact that he brought Bergstrom in leads me to believe he's not joking, that he actually wants to rehash the 2020 election. He knows, and let's face it, I mean, and I brought this point up earlier, the fact that Republicans nationwide are questioning the results in Idaho and Alabama, where Trump won overwhelmingly. I mean, what I've come to realize is I think these Republicans thought that Trump was going to win like 85% of the vote. And that when he didn't, and he lost badly, that they're trying to find some proof that backs up this. No, he really was the most popular presidential candidate we've ever had in the history of this country, and everyone else must have cheated. And so, and what's wild is when they're going after the vote people, the elections commissions in Idaho and Alabama, they're not going after Democrats. They're going after loyal Republicans. And they're you know, I brought up the Lindell thing in Idaho, where he's out there and he's saying there is electronic irregularities in every county. Well, there are 7 counties in Idaho that don't use any electronics in their voting. So how in the hell were there any electric irregularities in those cases? They don't want to believe that Trump wasn't as popular as they think he was. It's ludicrous. And so I see this, and I say this right now, if this is really where the Minnesota GOP is, then Jensen's going to be the nominee, because this party just wants crazy train. If you knowingly elected someone who truly, I mean, not just lip service, truly wants to rehash and reinvestigate the 2020 election in this state, and that's their biggest priority, and they brought in a deputy chair who clearly thinks that there was some fraud in 2020, even though she lost her race on a 2-1 vote margin up in Duluth. I think that's 7, isn't that? The Senate District 7? I think that's up in the Duluth area. I don't know where is your party at, Republicans? I mean, this was a chance. I mean, if Gazelka or Benson was going to, I think, have a real glimmer of hope here, you are going to elect someone who wasn't going to just drag the party down into conspiracy theory world every second you can. That candidate is Jensen, who is, you know, is once again still proudly conspiratory theory guy, you know, has made a, you know, a living basically accumulating as many of the far right loon balls in the party with his talk about the vaccines and the masks and all this stuff. I got to tell you the truth. I look at that election and I say to myself, the Republicans just don't know how to get out of their own way. And they seem to be in a situation where, you know, if this is what you're going to do, I mean, if this is where you're going to go, that the replacement for Jennifer Carnahan is a leadership committee that's going to go relitigate or try to relitigate, that you can't install him. Biden's the president. That's just that. There's no decertification. That is not something you can legally do. That's actually constitutional lawyers. There is no way for you to decertify an election. The election's over. Biden won. And so if you're basically sitting there and trying your best to figure out some way where you can question Biden's victory in Minnesota, what's your end game outside of just placating the lunatic right? This is, like I said, I saw this. I saw who he put in his deputy chair. And the first thing I said to myself is, wow, Jensen's going to win the Republican nomination, isn't he? Jensen's going to win the Republican nomination. And trust me, as a Democrat, delicious. Oh, delicious. I can't call that race yet because Walz hasn't announced whether he's running again. And there could be a Democratic primary. We'll have to see. But if Jensen's the nominee, dear God, I mean, the guy has given us so much campaign material already with his appearances at these far-right loon ball conferences. And he's already starting to try to say, well, I was never anti-vax. I was just saying people should have the choice. He's already trying to get down that. Democrats, if you don't plaster this state with his videos, you're fools. You're fools. We're at 75% of the state has been vaccinated. Then let him be out there saying, anyone who gets vaccinated is a sheep. I don't know how exactly he said it. I'm paraphrasing probably. Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck in the metro area. And it will drag down. Not only will it drag down, you got to remember, this is going to be a House race because of redistricting. The Senate's back up for grabs, the Minnesota Senate. And so, and with redistricting, there's going to be more seats for the House and the Senate in the metro area. If Jensen's your nominee, Republicans, hey, I'm not going to say it's a slam dunk, but you've got a heck of a lot of work to do to convince, especially the metro area where 55.5% of the metro lives, that, you know, the guy out there, you know, with all the talk about the vaccines and the masks is not some part of the lunatic fringe right. And in this election, we're not going to have a Senate race. So in this election, that governor's race is going to be the bellwether for everything from top of the ticket down. It's a real opportunity for the Democrats if Jensen becomes the nominee. It's a real opportunity. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. There is also no Republican, no Trump fan has been able to explain to me how on these ballots, only the presidential election was bad. Only the presidential election.
Oh, yeah.
The rest of the elections, all the rest are fine. But only the presidential elections was the one that was, considering that there are some places where they do touchscreen computers, there are some places that still do paper ballots. Across, you need to explain to me how all these systems were compromised. I mean, reminder, in Minnesota, we do paper ballots. They're counted in a machine, but it's still a paper ballot. How did all those get fraudulent again? Oh, that's right. Yeah, and which binds up with Han is like, okay, you want to see the source code of the counting machines.
Does he even know what that means?
Does he? We don't have... We have you go in, I've voted, you voted, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the thing like you're taking an ACT test where you have to fill in the circle, right? And you fill out all the races and you put it into the scanning machine, and the machine scans the ballot and it tallies them. It's a counting machine. That's all it does. And we still have, it's not like it shreds and destroys the paper ballot. All the paper ballots are kept.
Right.
And we've had multiple times where we've grabbed the ballots out and counted them, and they pretty much match up exactly with what the counting machine said. What source code do you want to watch there, Han? The counting machine source code? Is Steve Simon a robot? Is it his source code? Is he a Terminator? Oh, that'd be so cool, man.
You know, Steve Simon's never been in studio. How do we know he's human?
I don't know. He
he could very well be a droid.
I know, Steve. He's not going to appreciate us calling him. Is it his source code? Is he Data? I love Star Trek The Next Generation. That was a great show. Wow, I didn't know Steve Simon was on that show.
He's like a Jarvis kind of character from...
Jarvis from the Avengers!
Yeah, he's the Jarvis of elections.
You have to check his source code. What's going on there, Jarvis? 9529. Will he become Vision? Wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Vision will be our Secretary of State. It'll be the coolest thing ever. All right. 952-946-6205. I don't know if you caught the sensational, and I mean not in a great sense, but in the explosive sense, report from 60 Minutes from the Facebook employee who revealed her identity and basically talked about Facebook, which I mean, I'm sorry. After that 60 Minutes thing, is anyone somewhat not thinking the complete outage of Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp today has something to do with that, how these could be connected? I don't know. Frances Haugen worked as a product manager for Facebook's civic misinformation team during the and after the 2020 election. She was so disturbed by several actions taken by Facebook during that time, she told Scott Pelley of 60 Minutes that she leaked tons of thousands of pages of internal research to lawmakers, regulators, and the Wall Street Journal, which did a series of stories called The Facebook Files. Haugen said that the company's own evidence shows that Facebook is lying to the public about making significant progress against hate, violence, and misinformation. Haugen's lawyers have filed at least 8 complaints with the SEC, alleging Facebook and its investors lied to its investors about its actions. I don't trust that company is willing to actually invest what it needs to be invested to keep Facebook from being dangerous, Haugen said. The key problem, Haugen argued, is Facebook business is built around driving as much engagement as possible from the social network's billions of users, and data shows that social media users engage more with inflammatory content. Facebook over and over again chose to optimize its own interests, like making more money, Haugen said. When we live in an information environment that is full of angry, hateful, polarizing content, it erodes our civic trust. It erodes our faith in each other. It erodes our ability to want to care for each other, she added. The version of Facebook that exists today is tearing our societies apart and causing ethnic violence around the world. Concerning the January 6th insurrection, Haugen criticized Facebook for dropping election safety protocols that were part of the program known as Civic Integrity too quickly after the vote, and crucially before President Joe Biden was sworn in. Extremists subsequently weaponized Facebook to plan the Capitol riot. Facebook posts have repeatedly been cited by federal prosecutors in cases against the Capitol insurrectionists. Not only that, but she goes on to talk about how the internal memos, because Instagram is owned by Facebook, and Instagram, of course, is much more look at me, look at me, look at me. And the dangers that Facebook has done their own research, and it has basically come to the conclusion that Instagram is wildly dangerous for teenage girls. That it's 6% of girls who commit suicide in their teenage years are influenced, are doing so because of Instagram. That there's many girls who basically get psychological conditions because of the constant feeling of they're not good enough portrayed by Instagram. You know, it's interesting because I think about this, and I'm a parent. I've got 2 kids. I've got a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old. I got Charlie is over at college now. And trust me when I say social media has been I think one of the toughest elements to parent with in my age. When I was a kid, when I was a high school kid, the big problem was like Cosmo magazine. and all the magazines and the false sense of reality that they offered. But I made the point, and I made the point yesterday, is that when I was a kid and when my generation was coming up, and I understand, I've got one of these glowing rectangles just like the next guy. I've got a Twitter page, I got a Facebook page, I got a private Facebook page, I'm on Instagram. I know most of these social media sites, many of them I ignore because I don't have to be there, because I think most of them are absolute trash. But when I was a kid, we didn't have any of this stuff. And if you had someone who was spewing hate and anger, you either hung up the phone, you threw out the mailer you just got, you went inside and locked your door and called the cops, or you went to the other side of the street while you were walking down the street and you saw some lunatic out there screaming at the top of their lungs. Okay, I'll tell you what, let's cross the street here. We'll go around him. Today, you can be posting pictures of an apple orchard visit, and all of a sudden you're dealing with right-wing psychopath guy spewing hate. I told you about the Nextdoor app. I went through that. Why I ignore the Nextdoor app is because there isn't a post you can't make, which especially in the suburbs, which all of a sudden comes racist white guy and white woman who come on out there and say, oh, look at the size of the... look at the size of the zucchini I just grew in my garden. Well, you better be careful because you know who's going to come get that blankety blank. And you're like, wow, really? Just someone posting a picture about zucchini. Or God forbid they're talking about crime because all of a sudden, white suburban guy is an expert on inner city society. And oh, let me tell you about the black people. And you're like, oh my God. You can't do that. I mean, social media today is absolutely freaking garbage. It is absolute garbage. Because what it allows people to do is to enter into your life. And I've talked often about how my favorite feature on social media is the block button. I love the block button. Because you know what? No, you do not have a right to kick open my front door of my house, come into my living room, go to the bathroom in the middle of my floor, point at it and tell me, you have to like it. No, I don't. Goodbye. Get out. And that is what these people on social media try to do. It is wildly predictable that this is exactly where we're at. That Instagram, that the Facebook people knew that their product, they were pushing a product that was detrimental to our society, was creating more anger than solving, was giving, you know, inferiority complexes on a grand scale to teenage girls on Instagram. I have zero doubt. I mean, I just watched last night. Was it last week tonight with Oliver? We was talking about DuPont and the nonstick surface and the chemicals they use. They knew they were all bad decades ago. They didn't care. They don't care. And the reality is if anyone sits down and actually tries to regulate Facebook or anything like that, Facebook will just pull out their checkbook and give the opposing party $1 million for each politician. And all of a sudden, those politicians, how dare you try to regulate Facebook? That's the world we live in today. It was nice today for a while because it looks like Instagram and Facebook are back up today, right now, or at least up in some capacity. It was kind of nice. But the reality is, there are many days I ask myself, wouldn't we just be a lot better as a society if all these just went away? Because the promise of the internet doesn't match up with the reality of it. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Robert Burrill, some big news from him coming up when we do talk with him after the break. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. We welcome back comedian Robert Burrill to the show. Of course, he's going to be headlining the House of Comedy October 6th. That's Wednesday night. Get tickets. He's a hilarious comedian. He's also got some big news coming up about a recording he's doing. And also the guy I would blame for why Facebook's been offline all day today. Robert, what did you do?
I don't know. I posted a lot. I threatened to kill a lot of people, Matt. I think that's what did it. I think it turns out you're not allowed to do that. And
well, so you know, shocking news. Apparently, you were. I guess.
Boy, do I have egg on my face. In fact, I hear a knock on the door. I see a few policemen. They're wearing sunglasses. It's been nice knowing you.
You have been on the road. Were you in Carolina? Was that in North Carolina?
I was in North Carolina, yeah, for a few weeks in September doing some clubs. One for a festival. It was called the Idiot Box. And then one after that, a Good Nights in Raleigh. Yeah, and then in November, I'll be hitting the road, too, doing St. Louis and Indianapolis is where I'm recording the album. We're going to shoot video, hopefully, for a special. And then Phoenix and Denver and...
Well, and this is, first of all, I got to tell you, I'm excited. I'm glad. I'm very happy. I've known you for years, and you've done the Upper Midwest circuit. I mean, any comedian that starts here.
Oh,
in the
yeah.
You've done that.
Oh, yeah.
And I just kept saying, it's like, you need to get out into these other cities, man.
Yeah, if they got a big buck hunter and a dead deer on the wall from, I don't know, Des Moines to Bismarck to Nogany, Michigan, I've not done well and been threatened after a show there. So it's nice to irritate people on other coasts.
Wow, you have two big buck hunter video games. Wow, you don't see that too often. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah,
you are getting out there and doing national shows, which I'm so glad about. I want to touch the Indianapolis show. There's a chance. Is there a chance here this thing could end up on Amazon?
I mean, they're shooting it. So I don't know if you're familiar with the dry bar specials that they do.
Yeah.
The Mormons do in Utah. Well, I don't qualify for those, believe it or not.
Yes.
I've tried. The Mormons have ghosted me. So now Helium, who I'm doing the album with, is trying to start their own sort of dry bar type thing where they put out specials for comics. And I'm going to be one of the first few to do that with the intended goal of getting it on Amazon. And if that is the case, I'll definitely be back to promote that.
Oh.
And people can watch it and find it there, hopefully.
Dude, man, I can't tell you how happy I am. I hope this works out because I, from the get-go, you were one of the funniest people I've ever seen in my entire life. I can't tell you.
Thank you, Matt.
Well, you are. And yeah. It's just, I have enjoyed the fact that, you know, everyone else seems to be agreeing with me now. So you're doing shows, you're headlining once again House of Comedy coming up here on Wednesday. But the thought that now you could possibly be getting up on the streaming services with your shows, I mean, that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, if enough people watch it and I get some exposure, then fingers crossed, I'll be able to headline my own weekend at House of Comedy. As it stands right now, I'm in the middle of the week on a Wednesday, which is still, I need people to come. I think they the benchmark is like 15 paid tickets. And not that, I mean, I'm not going to say I don't get paid if there isn't a show, but it's not as much. And it's also not the best feeling in the world to show up. And then they're like, we're not having it. I would appreciate it if people came out.
Well, and if you haven't, you did a run over there on the 4th of July, wildly successful. A lot of people showed up for that. So people just go to House of Comedy Wednesday night, the 6th. What time's the show?
The show is at 7:30. So actually there's two chances, 7:30, this upcoming Wednesday, I'm at House of Comedy. And then the following week, which I think is the 13th, or something like that, 12th or 13th, I'm at Acme Comedy Company headlining, Wednesday as well.
All right.
So middle of the week, hump day, I'm making hump day my day. That's
and it's because of your sexual prowess, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Well,
I don't think it's widely known that my albums are considered aphrodisiacs. But if you you probably know as well as anyone, you can find Sex and Politics and TMI on iTunes, and it's like the comedy equivalent of anything Barry White has ever done.
It's, I put on your albums, and the next thing I know, it's clang, clang, clang goes the trolley. You know,
absolutely.
It's happy mm-hmm. time. The mm-hmm. third, so
you're greases the wheels. Yep.
The 13th, you're at Acme this Wednesday, House of Comedy. Go to House of Comedy. I'll find the link. We'll put it up online. Go get tickets. Go enjoy in there. And then, like I said, how many shows are you doing nationwide coming up here?
Well, November is really the busy week for me. I'm going to Chicago this weekend, Thursday through Saturday, to do some shows. But then after that, I think it's just some local stuff here. Like I said, House of Comedy, Acme, and then November I'm everywhere, and then December it's I think I'm just going to lay low and recover, and then hit the road again in the new year.
They're not listening right now, so what city are you least looking forward to going to?
What city am I least look? Well, I'll tell you, the state I'm least looking forward to going to is Indiana. The city's fun, but the state itself is surprisingly southern.
It is. You get out of Gary, and all of a sudden, it's like there's a lot of remorse about them being on the north side in the Civil War there.
Yeah, yeah, you're surprised, because they'll say stuff like, you know, Obama was half white too, and you're like, oh God, geez, that's all right. We got to get out of here.
Have you driven the interstate from Chicago down to Indianapolis, and you get about 20 miles into Indianapolis, and the billboard on the side, "Hell is real." You're driving down, it's like, that is a catchy state motto. That's not something that's got some guts to put that up there.
Oh yeah, no, there's all I've driven past so many "Hell is real" billboards with the shows that I've done in North Dakota. Iowa's got some too. It's not just Indiana. I don't know if you've heard, Matt, but it's not a fun place to go.
Oh, I was there. I went down. I got the place for you to go, but it got to be right across from Louisville, Kentucky. New Albany, Indiana is quite nice. But you really you have to kind of get to the big cities on the outskirts for you to be able to feel like you don't need a shower at the end of that day.
Yeah. I mean, I'm opening by doing a good 12 minutes on Cops. And so if it's not the right crowd, I don't usually get to do the last 45 minutes of my set. So it's...
You'll be gold in Indianapolis with that.
Yeah, yeah. I did a show in Wake Forest in between clubs in Wake Forest, North Carolina, that did not go well. but it's funny too, because I was non-confrontational, but I wasn't backing down. And then you've seen me perform too. It's just kind of, it's quick. It's sort of rapid fire. And I don't do a lot of rhetorical questions like, "Hey, how are you guys doing?" Cause there's no need to, they're upset. Like, I'm not going to invite them to talk. So I could just kind of plow through, but I was like, I don't think I'm going to sell any CDs after this show.
Well, you at least you haven't had the Borat moment where you're like jumping in a car and I'm trying to hold the door closed while the guy guns it out of the city.
Yeah, no, I've usually walked everyone by that point. There's no one that's still around to even threaten me. That's what I do another joke about, how I'm the COVID protocol comedian, because after I'm done performing, social distance is no longer an issue because there's just seven or eight of you, and you're well beyond 6 feet of each other. So you're welcome for protecting you.
Anything political that you've been paying attention to that is running your mind here that will soon get you booed on a stage in Indiana?
The Capitol rioters going to court, their plea deals, playing that down. I've done some jokes about that are in there too, where they're trying to act like they didn't do anything. I'm like, no, we were saying we wanted to hang with Pence. You don't understand. We wanted to hang. He seems like such a fun guy to be around. We just want to hang with him.
The best part about this, although I do wish that the sentences were a little stricter, but the best part about these guys is, either it's a, "I am so sorry, I am so, so sorry," or it's a, "I am a sovereign citizen." There is no middle ground. It's either they're on the loon bell fringe and like, okay, let's go to court, and, or else they're just begging that they can only have the ankle monitor for 18 months.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. I had a joke yesterday about watching the Vikings, and they didn't win, but I enjoy Vikings games because it's the only time you can see a topless guy in horns carrying a sword and know that Pence and Pelosi's lives aren't in danger.
Well, that will go over. Use that one in Chicago. They'll love that down there.
That'll go over. I have a darker joke about the threat of domestic terrorism, like the people that stormed the Capitol. A lot of them are, white guys from rural areas that don't have purpose or meaning in their lives. So they become domestic terrorists. And I feel like the best way to prevent this would be to bring back the opioid crisis, because that's same target market, right? We can really... George Bush called it a preemptive strike. Let's get Big Pharma involved in this.
Oh, the Method One Clinic. Yes. we have our options here. I can't. When do you know when we'll find out if this is going to be up on Amazon Prime? Do you have any timeline on that?
I have absolutely no. I don't know how long it's going to take them to. Because depending on how the shows go, is also going to depend on the amount of editing it will take to. Put the thing together. They probably want to cut out all the parts of me ducking as bottles or whatever might be coming my way. But once I have a firmer idea of what the date will be, I will definitely let you know and come back on and promote that as well.
Well, it's Amazon Prime. I mean, it's I've seen The Boys. I mean, you're timid compared to some of the stuff they got on that channel. I think you're going to be just fine as far as, jokes. It's just, you have to hope that, you might want to do the opioid crisis as your end joke, just if you got to get out of there fast. That might be your closer. But
yeah.
I think you'll be fine with your stuff.
Oh no, that's how I'm playing it. As I'm playing it for a national audience, and I've heard good things about the club. And the club is in a city. I wouldn't be going to Gary to do a show.
Terre Haute, so. Terre Haute's big comedy chuckle hut. There you go.
Exactly.
Well, if this does blossom, and I hope it does, because I am not dead serious. I mean, I met Brill. Years ago, the first thing I said is, dude, that guy's going to make it. I mean, there are some people that you meet and you instantly say you are wildly talented, and I'm glad to see where this is going. Are you kind of shopping for a Disney show at this point? you could be one of those, the dad on a kid's show on Disney.
Oh man, I feel like that'd be like one of those Bob Saget things where then, like, if that does happen, they would like come to my show expecting Danny Tanner or, I don't know, Billy Manners or whatever, my dumb Disney dad. I mean, part of it would be kind of fun, because if you watch that show, those dads are just morons. Like, what happened? Oh, I mixed up the phone with this iron. Oh, dad, you're so stupid. And people are like, what? Come on. Why do they have to make him such a dullard?
And then come the Effenheimers and the
exactly,
live show.
So they'll expect that, and then I show up, and I'm just like... domestic terrorism and abortion and gay rights. And people are like, well, that's not Disney.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. but you won't care. You'll have that Disney coin, man. You'll have that Disney coin.
Absolutely. I'll be dressed like a Disney character. I'll be Gaston. Yeah, I don't care.
Oh. Folks, if you get the chance, if you've not seen him, your chance, you're getting to your last chances to seeing him live before. It's like, I remember seeing him before he was huge. Robert Burrill, House of Comedy, Wednesday night at 7:30. Then next week on the 13th at Acme, he's going to be over there as well. I'll make sure we promote both of those. And then once again, he's doing this as Indianapolis. He's recording in place are you doing it in Indy at?
The Helium Comedy Club in Indianapolis. Yeah. So that's the 5th and the 6th. The 3rd I'll be at the St. Louis. I don't know what kind of range we're talking for this show, but in case anyone's listening in St. Louis, the 3rd of November, I'm going to be there. And then the 4th through the 7th, because I got some other shows lined up, I'm at Indy, but the 5th and 6th is the album recording.
Well, and I should mention, you'd be shocked at how many people nationwide are listening to us. Where else after Indy, where else are you going to be?
So Indianapolis is the 5th and 6th recording. Then I'm sticking around. The 7th, I got a show. The 8th, I'll be at Teehee's Comedy Club in Des Moines, Iowa.
Okay.
And then that's the 8th, 9th, 10th. The 11th through the 14th, I'll be at the House of Comedy in Phoenix.
Nice.
Arizona. Yep, I'm going to help them recount. Because it's still there's still a lot of votes out there, Matt. I don't know if you know. There's still votes.
Are there?
and then after that, the 18th to the 21st, I'm in Denver.
Nice.
Yeah.
Glad. Well, you're going to have some good travel. Stay safe out there on the roadway, okay, man?
Will do.
All righty. A House of Comedy, Wednesday night, 7:30. Links up on social media if Facebook ever does return. Robert Burrill. Robert, thank you very much. Congratulations. All my best over the next few months, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You got it. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Wow, this is interesting. Just really quick, I got one last breaking news thing here I want to talk about in a second here, but the if you have not caught a Robert Burrill show, he is a riot. Very funny, and still actually one of my favorite birthdays of all time. He came to my house and basically did a set on me for an hour, and it was brilliant. I was on the floor. Very funny. House of Comedy coming up here Wednesday night, the 6th. And then we do have listeners across the country in St. Louis, in Chicago, in Indy, in Phoenix, in Des Moines, in Denver. You get the chance to hear him. Go. He's going to be coming into your town later on this year. Go to one of his shows. You'll have a great time. Enjoy. He is fantastic. And I really am absolutely just tickled pink because, like I said, he was one of those guys where the second I saw him, I heard him, I said, wow, you are good. And I can definitely see you making it. And he at this point, the fact that he's now doing shows that might be up on Amazon Prime, that's. Broadcorp just putting this one out. This is interesting. Philip Parrish, the only announced Minnesota GOP candidate for Secretary of State. We mentioned Steve Simon a little bit earlier. He released a statement on Facebook tonight announcing he's leaving the Minnesota GOP. Parrish's candidacy for Secretary of State will continue, but although he's running as an independent, I'm going to guess. It is with the respect that I write today to inform you of my immediate resignation as delegate to the Goodhue County BPOU alternate to CD2 and Minnesota GOP Central delegate. I will no longer attend any Minnesota GOP meetings or caucuses with the Minnesota GOP. Some people within the Minnesota GOP will attempt to conflate this with my loss to our new chair, Mr. Hahn, on Saturday, October 2nd. However, that would not be the truth. Please read it and pass along my concerns and reasoning. The outcomes of the past few months and days were predictable. My decision has been coming for several months. I have been within the Republican Party of Minnesota for 41 years. The past 7 years, I have made a specific effort to influence policy and confront some unethical behaviors that plague the Minnesota GOP. My attempt to become a Minnesota GOP chair and the resulting decisions allow me to peacefully close a chapter of my life. I leave the Minnesota GOP battlefield knowing I did everything humanly possible to help the 236 members of the 335 voting members of the governing body choose to continue the Minnesota G operation as it stands. Which kind of goes back to what I said about Hahn and, you know, people that want to go back and rehash out the 2020 election. In the past week, I witnessed a lot of dishonesty and political gamesmanship that was more than typical in my judgment. The behaviors of the past week, combined with the catastrophic failures in leadership throughout the organization in recent years, are not being taken seriously. The level of dysfunction, inefficient use of financial resources, and unethical behaviors are more than politics as usual. Further, as I continue my leadership efforts as candidate for Secretary of State, it is unethical and inappropriate for me to pursue my candidacy through the Minnesota GOP structure. The structure as it stands is unethical and causes insufficient expenditure in the time and treasure of my supporters throughout the state. Some may argue that I'm only giving Chair Hahn a choice. However, this is not about Mr. Hahn. It is about my approximately 236 delegates and political operatives who will not change what they are about. The same old tired group has been dysfunctional for more than four decades. The organization lacks any willingness or mechanism to successfully confront its own dysfunction and inefficiencies. In closing, the state of Minnesota has a population of approximately 5,680,000, and the 236 Minnesota GOP members, allegedly Republicans, political class, and operatives, have a glaring disconnect with the average citizen and the truth on the ground. These 236 are of more than 5 million Minnesotans do not and cannot reflect the will of the people. Respectfully, Philip Parrish. Wow, that's a slam, isn't it? And it's only saying what we clearly are seeing now with Carnahan, which we saw with earlier upsets in the Republican Party. The Republican Party is broken. And the longer they keep pandering and working for the most extreme far right in this country, well, moderates, it's time for you to make a choice. And this guy, he did. We're back tomorrow. Native Roots Radio up next. Till tomorrow, see ya.